right, welcome to Beyond the Sermon. This is where we are going to take some time to practically talk through God's Word, apply it to our lives. This is our very first episode, and today it's fun to finally say we're doing this.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Joined by Robbie and Brandon and myself, Greg. So we have, for our first episode, three pastors within the church, and we want to talk specifically about that. We just kicked off a series on family, and as the Lord blesses family, as the Lord builds the house, that's where we find blessing. And the first sermon in this series was on singleness. So,
Second sermon, just to be specific,
after we lay the foundation.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about singleness today. And Brandon, you preached that sermon recently, so we want to hear some thoughts of things that didn't make the sermon beyond the sermon.
That's right.
And then we want to talk practically. What does that look like for us in our lives and for the church? So, why don't we just start with this? Let's talk about why begin the series after the foundation with this topic. Brandon, I know you preached. Robbie, do you want to just give us like a reason? Why did this make the series, singleness?
Right, yeah. So, well, it's very, very important to our church. It's very, very important to us as leaders as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I think even positioning it in really the front slot, we had the intro sermon and then Brandon preached on singleness because a large portion of our church is single and we want to make sure we highlight the value and how we count, again, those singles in our church is precious. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to really, I mean, I was excited also for our church right off the bat to be informed on a very important topic, to be educated, understand what God's word says about that. I think the Lord used Brandon in such a great way to do that. And it's super helpful, you know? So it was very intentional. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we front loaded. Maybe what people weren't expecting either. Yeah. So I like to keep people on their toes a little bit too, right? So. And even, I mean, as we get into this too, Brandon, I just love for you, even this roundtable discussion, your heart behind this as well. I'm so glad we're doing this, but maybe just 30 seconds to talk about that too.
Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah, so in prepping for the sermon, there's so much that you can say. And so I remember praying and thinking through, you know, what direction do I feel led to go? And Paul, you know, he has a lot to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, talking about the blessings of singleness. And so I thought about that's a great route we could have taken. But then you also have the people that are around you. And when we're up close and we're shepherding people and we're interacting with you, there is a real heartache that comes with this topic. And so the more that we talked about is that, well, we need to speak to the burdens that come with singleness. And so, you know, we see this blessing, we see these burdens and how do we make sense of this? And so that really informed kind of my desire to speak to the heart of our singles and wanting to hold up with clarity what the Bible does say about singleness, that there are certain advantages that Paul very clearly talks about, but then also to be aware of just some of the longing in people's hearts to find companionship, to find someone in marriage. And so just wanting to be able to cover off both of those pieces. So the outline of the sermon was defining singleness and then talking about the blessings of singleness and then ending with the burdens of singleness,
And now we're going beyond the sermon,
beyond.
Another B.
That's right.
And like the heart behind this, to have an informal conversation that our people can kind of listen into that we hope will be helpful and applicable to their lives.
That's right.
I thought it was really helpful at the beginning of the sermon was when you defined singleness as a season that you can be in, you can enter into, or you can enter out of.
That's right.
Right. And that allows us not to define ourselves by singleness because we just take it as just something circumstantial in the moment where God has me and how am I called to be fruitful in that. So I want to begin maybe on this topic by talking about singleness as an identity and helping our people understand just the theology behind in the season of singleness, why your singleness is not your identity. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. I just have a few notes here just of references just to remind us too. So in Galatians, Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, John, we remember Jesus. We talked about anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. He gives them the right to become children of God. 2 Corinthians 5, in Christ, we're new creations. In Romans 6, Paul's talking about how we're dead to sin. Now we're alive in God. And then in James, another verse there, we're compared to like Abraham, friend of God for those who put their faith and trust. So here's the question. If that's what the Bible teaches on singleness and how our identity is actually in Christ, why do we find it so easy to put our identity in the circumstance, in are you single, are you not, I hope to be, or what is your status? I mean, our culture has so much to say about that, but if that question is clear, like why do we get stuck in this rut all the time of feeling like singleness is, what defines me?
Yeah, well, I think it's not just singleness, right? So we are constantly tempted to define ourselves by other things. And there's good things, you know, there's good things that we can use to describe ourselves. You know, we were chatting a little bit earlier and just, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a worship leader, I'm a pastor at the church, and these things, they describe who I am, but ultimately we need to fight the temptation to make those things our primary identity. I think it's Tim Keller who talks about this, the difference between having an identity that is achieved rather than received. And so constantly we are trying to achieve and earn and go after these things to make ourselves feel important. And I think that singleness is an identity trap. And I think that when you're sitting there as a single and everyone, you see everyone around you kind of defining themselves by their relationship status, you know, there's a temptation to want to feel less than, to feel like we're missing out on something. And then that can be used even, I think, by the enemy to lead to shame and to a whole bunch of negative feelings about yourself because you're not thinking clearly about who you are ultimately in Christ, that you are a son, you are a daughter. That is your first and your highest identity. And that has been received and it can't be taken away from you, which is awesome. So I think that those are some of the traps that come when we start thinking about identity.
Yeah, it's interesting, as we talk about identity, I think it can be on either one of two extremes, like where we actually are so proud of our identity, it becomes an idolatry, right? So again, you take the context of ministry, you can say, well, this is my title, this is my position, or whether in the workplace and I'm doing, you define yourself by your career or by your achievements.
Your title,
then on the other side, it can be, well, then you're in despair because your lack of identity or your identity puts you in a place you don't want to be.
Yeah.
And that's where what you said, Greg, is so key. This is where the gospel has to be front and center, and it has to be what we rehearse again on a daily basis, because it's just true. Like, one of the things that's going to be really important for us and for me as we talk about all this stuff too is, like, we're going to say some things that might sound cliche, but they're not, okay? Right. In the name of Jesus Christ, they're not. They're true. They're true. Like, everything that Brandon preached and what you said, when you say we're a child of God, that is true. We are a child of God because what Jesus Christ did for us, and nothing will ever remove that from us. And if we can believe that, even though they say it, it just, it fills me with just belief and faith because it's true. So whoever's listening right now, again, it's understanding you rehearse the gospel, you believe it and you live it. You will supernaturally be able to put aside the labels or the things that are trapping you, and you will start to live as Christ actually desired for you to live, and you will encounter the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you will know a joy you did not think was possible. And so we can't just say things and be like, oh yeah, that's good theology. No. It's actual reality on top of the good theology. And this is what the Lord has for us. I really, I mean, my heart and my burden for all those in our church, whether you're single or not single, whether you're married, whatever, we would all be constantly coming back to say, if I have nothing but Jesus, then I have everything, right? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I didn't come up with that, but I love it because it's so true. And so, I mean, we're just appealing to all those listening right now and watching this episode, whatever it might be, just again, If you believe what's being said and you root yourself in what is true, and then you ask the Lord and you surrender, may He truly fill you that our identity is in Him in the gospel. Lord, help us, eh? Yeah. I mean, it's so key.
Amen.
Yeah.
I love that.
I feel like there's almost like nothing you need to add to that. that was a good theological drop on us. Maybe Brandon, just to kind of shift here. So in light of that reality, like what would that practically look like for someone in a season of singleness, or even for the church to help foster that of living life in terms of our theology, that your identity is in Christ? Like, what are some practical steps that we can think about in the church of not only welcoming in, but really in our praxis, living out that theology and what we believe?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much you could say. I think you can never go wrong with the basics. Like, as Robbie's talking about this stuff, like this is the heart that is abiding in Christ. It's waking up. It's spending time with Him, and living out your sonship, living out being a child of God, and that relational intimacy that is the bedrock of life, of all of life. You know, and then so we can never get past that. Like that really does fuel the way that we think. We renew our minds in the truth. And so if we're not doing that, if we're just letting the world write the script in our minds, that's going to be trouble. And so we need to renew our minds in God's word every single day. And I think we also need to watch out for our self-talk, like the language that we use to describe ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that that stuff is a subtle indication of what can often be true in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so just to say out loud the things that we know to be true and to let it get from our minds into our hearts, mm-hmm. it is a daily discipline. Mm-hmm. And so it's basic, mm-hmm. But it's powerful, mm-hmm. and we need to fight for that.
Yeah,
so,
amen.
Yeah. Would you add anything to that, Remy?
I don't think so. No. I just like basically amen. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true. I find the simplest things are often the most profound and the things we need mm-hmm. to be reminded of the most often, right? We try to do that at our church a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
So whether it's on this issue today on singleness or like 100 others, right? You do come back. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus, he's coming back and Paul mm-hmm. and Peter, right? Because again, it's the simplest truths that often have the most profound impact.
Mm-hmm. And I think one other thing came to mind too, of just, you know, this topic, so much of what we're going to talk about is about stewardship, stewarding what God has given you, mm-hmm. whether it's singleness, whether it's marriage. Yeah. And it's just having the heart posture of, Lord, here's all that I am. Would you take it and would you use it? Yeah. You know, whether it's a season of singleness, whether it's a season, whatever it is, mm-hmm. just having a heart posture of surrender. Yeah. I think that is often what's going to lead to blessing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think what testifies to that is, you know, you think about here at Hope, our 5G life, it's not about anything in that is in our external relationships other than your relationship with Christ. It's mm-hmm. it's vertical, right? And so when we regularly think back to maybe messages on singleness, I mean, I remember when you were preaching this weekend thinking, I don't think I've ever heard a message particularly mm-hmm. on singleness. And so not only appropriateness for that, but I think that's because you so often, Robbie, talk in sermons about the reality you just mentioned. Like our identity is in Christ. So there's this regular reminder, we're all sinners, we're all broken, we need Christ, authority of God's word, submission to it, living our lives, fulfilling the Great Commission. None of that is related to whether or not you are in a season of singleness or not. Yeah. And so that's helpful too, even just to think we preach on the things that God's word says. And it does speak to singleness, you know, as to your passage and the sermon that we heard, but that is a reminder for us that first and foremost, sons and daughters of Christ, when we've been redeemed by him and his perfect work of salvation. So I think that's really helpful. I think it's helpful to kind of think through practically just the regular reminding, the rehearsing of who we are and what that looks like in our lives.
I will say too, though, as I was listening to Brandon preach on this message, and because you're right, like it's been a long time since a specific message. One guy said to me, he goes, I don't think I've ever heard mm-hmm. a sermon specifically on singleness. I said, well, it's about time, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm listening to Brandon preach, I'm like, this is so healthy to hear out loud and to say out loud. It's mm-hmm. just so right and so healthy. So I'm so glad we did it. I totally agree with what you said. The Holy Spirit can take, you know, any message and apply it to the area of singleness and summon whatever mm-hmm. they might be dealing with in their life. But it's mm-hmm. so healthy to say these things out loud and to say some of these things today out loud too, on beyond the sermon.
Beyond
the sermon.
Good product
merch
placement.
Pending.
One last thing maybe on that too. I think the importance of that, it's helpful that our young people also hear that in our church, right? That you can celebrate the season that God has you in and you can find how God will you use my life right now for fruitfulness. And like, I love that you brought up the stewardship because that's what it's about. Yeah. Whether you're still in Hope Kids or you're in student ministries or you've moved into now a season of 20s ministries, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But if you're single, it's about fruitfulness and stewardship.
Yes.
And I think that's wonderful. 100%. That's wonderful for our entire church to hear, even if it's the first time they've ever heard a sermon on that or you were prepping a sermon on that. That's good. Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about how does the church help engage with singles? I think it's helpful for us to think, maybe sometimes the trends that we see ourselves, what are things that are helpful to say? What are things that are not helpful to say? What are things that are helpful to do or how the church should be? What are some things that are not helpful? Either you want to maybe just begin by speaking to that and some of the things that we want to work towards.
Yeah, I love that list. I want you to share that in just a second, that list of things that are helpful. But one of the things that was in the sermon, is the one of the phrases the New Testament uses to describe the church is the family of God. Mm. That is a primary picture that we are a family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to think through that. We need to function as the family of God. We need to engage one another in meaningful community and be the family of God to one another. And so we have such a propensity to sort according to our kind, you know, to find people that are just like us, whether it's, you know, all of the ages of the kids line up or we have the same hobbies or the same, whatever, vacation time, however you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so often what happens is you see these little clusters in the church and all the singles are together, you know, all the young marrieds are are together, all of the, you know, the families, et cetera, seniors, but
all the dog lovers,
all the dog lovers. Yeah. Love it. But
there are those.
Yes. You're a robot. You barely even love your dog. But where was I going with this? The picture of the family, it kind of breaks that down. Like we all are supposed to come together in community. And that's so finding ways to get outside of your bubble, outside of the norm, to open up your home and to be used by God, to be the family, I think is a big deal. Yeah. And so we just sometimes, we need to be intentional about it.
Yeah, that's the word, Brandon. Intentional, intentionality, right? And what you just said too, yes, I think we can always grow with being intentional, with including people in the things that we are doing, right? And so that's something that I would say yes, absolutely too. So let's get super practical. Like Christmas, Thanksgiving, maybe birthdays, maybe it's vacation even, or just, you know, a time to just say, who can we include? And a lot of families in our church are really good at this. But what if every, you know, home, and it doesn't have to be just the kind of families doing this, but just individuals, people, right? Just saying, who can we seek to include and love? And specifically a heart for those who may not have, again, people to be able to do this with at certain seasons of the year, or could just be for no reason at all, right? Just simply because they want to love people. I mean, that's always the power of the body of Christ, right? Yeah. If everyone gets motivated and activated in terms of thinking about these things, it just becomes like organic. And all of a sudden, everyone's being included in different ways and loved or whatever. And then loneliness has really, you know, served a deadly blow there, right? Which is a huge problem in our day, right? And we know there's a correlation, obviously, between singleness and loneliness and stuff like that. I want to make sure you know, too, there's lots of lonely people who are married as well. We talked about that. I counsel them often, you know what I'm saying? However, on this subject, for our people to be as intentional again, as they can be by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to say, who can we love by just incorporating them into what we're doing already? Yeah. So that'd be great.
Yeah. And I think what you said in your sermon, Brandon, just the whole idea of being intentional, of embracing a family or a married couple into the chaos that life is, right? Yeah. I think you were referencing like dinner time to bedtime. In my home, it's like, here we go, right?
That's right.
Like full court press, that's right to bedtime. Awesome. But that's an intentional thought. Yeah. Okay, so even though right now my home is not clean, I haven't finished all the laundry, it doesn't mean you can't open your home because we have some other identity we want to put on as a facade. Just be intentional to say, hey, come on over for dinner. And life is crazy and life's a mess, but
if you don't help us with the laundry.
Thank you for helping clear the table. That's exactly.
You do dishes while we wrangle four kids.
That is teamwork.
That's probably how it worked though too, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just what love does, right? Yeah. So
totally.
Greg, you mentioned just about, I'm going to have glasses for this one here too, but you mentioned about what are some unhelpful things we can say to singles. And these aren't original to me, kind of search these up a little bit this week, but a few sayings that we're practically trying to care for singles again in our lives or in our church. So something that's unhelpful to say, and we can flesh this out. Love to hear you guys think about unhelpful statement number one to say to a single: you have to be content before God will give you a spouse. You have to be content before God will give you a spouse. So, and the primary reason again that is unhelpful to say, you are insinuating then that first you're content, then the blessing will come, right? That's theologically out of whack, right? What the reality is contentment is the blessing, right? Yeah. Right. So that's so important for us to think through. And I thought, well, man, it's easy to say to someone, and you'll realize you're leading them improperly theologically. Like that's an unbiblical, poor thing to say, right? And so we want to make sure that to be content in Christ is the very blessing. Again, we don't need anything else besides Jesus. Yeah. So that's the first unhelpful statement.
Also, as I think about that too, why that's so helpful is as if we know God's plan for each person.
Yeah, honestly.
Right?
Yeah,
honestly. And so, you know, I've had my fair share of unhelpful comments. As we all have, I'm sure, but just this idea of, oh, trust me, it's just around the corner. Like you just need to do this. And then God's going to do it. You're like, we have no idea.
We have no idea.
That's right. We also have no idea what place that person is. Maybe they have chosen a life of singleness and they're content within that already.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
There's so many assumptions made that are deeply unhelpful with that.
Well said.
So,
well said. And how would the Apostle Paul respond to that?
He's
I'm called
that's right.
to be single
right.
for the glory of God. Yeah. So, on unhelpful statement number two. You're so wonderful. Why aren't you married yet? You're so wonderful. Yes. Why aren't you married yet? Mm. So that implies there that their worth is found when they get married, yeah. right? So yeah. we don't want to say that. No. So but this is good. I mean, people mean well, right? Yes. We all mean well. Yeah, we're trying to say things that are helpful, but sometimes you say, and you're just like, that wasn't helpful at all.
Yes.
So, any comments on that?
Yes.
You're so wonderful. Why aren't you married yet? Anyone want to expand anything there on that?
Maybe too wonderful for anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree that like the aspirations for someone's achievement in life. And you mentioned the sermon, that illustration, I think it was in the Elbury book, just about the sorting and unsorting.
Yeah.
That's really practical, right? To think that, okay, all I want for my child in life is that they would have a family and they would be married and happy. And then I don't have to worry about them anymore. Yeah, yeah. Because on the contrary, again, matching the theology with what we aspire in life and fruitfulness is, I want my child, I want my grandchild to first love Jesus passionately, to use the giftings they have. And so when we say things like that about, you know, whether or not, oh, you're wonderful, how has the formula not worked out yet? What we're saying is Jesus is not quite enough for you.
Yeah.
And only the only thing that's in life that will make you content or will find satisfaction is if you find a person. And if you don't find a person, then you've missed out. I'm sorry.
That's right. I think a good principle of wisdom for people speaking is just to recognize some of the sensitivities involved with dating. And that you might not know the whole story. So just, you know, you're so great. Why aren't you married? You know, you just don't know where that person's at. Maybe they just got out of a long relationship and that's a real, just be wise. Just be slow to speak.
Yeah.
And just really try to have a heart of empathy for the people that you're speaking to.
Yes.
So
that's
always a good thing.
Unhelpful statement number three is your turn is coming. Your turn is coming. Mm. Now that's bad theology too, because they are insinuating that singleness is plan B. And you completely explained to us from God's word as to why that's not the case at all, right?
Yeah.
That means that Jesus was plan B there. We're not willing to say
most
that.
Of the apostles.
Yeah, exactly.
Not ideal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's...
Any expansion on that? Unhelpful statements.
Yeah.
Your turn is coming.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I already kind of said this in the first one, like, we just don't know. We don't know that your turn is coming. You know, I think it's good too, you know, for the singles that are listening to, for the people that are close to you, if you're willing to open up your heart and share, if that's a desire, that's great. You know, for people to pray with you for a spouse, if that's something that you want, that's a good thing from the Lord. We can't speak with any sort of certainty on what the future holds for anybody.
Yeah.
Cause we're not God. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And I want to just be clear too, right? Like, so over 20 years as the pastor of this church here, and by far the most difficult situations that we have encountered in terms of counseling and crisis have been within the context of marriage and family. Mm-hmm. Like, so marriage is not the answer. Like, you know, in terms of, I mean, some people were tricked and we believe, well, if I can just get here, then everything's going to be okay. Yeah, well, no, that's not like there, there's a lot of people we've been counseling. I do anything, you know, in some ways to be single. So just, it's important to get perspective. I am not diminishing marriage.
Yeah.
You guys know that. I'm not diminishing, again, the aspect in God's creation. I'm just saying sometimes we think, oh, the grass is so green on that side only and everything's brown over here and I'll never, but no. The Bible is clear. Mm-hmm. Singleness can be an absolute gift from God. For his glory in a way that no married person could ever live out.
That's right.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, there's a little section in the sermon where I was just kind of recapping Matthew 19 when Jesus kind of raises the bar on when divorce is permissible. And the disciples see, they're like, well, if that's the case, maybe that's we shouldn't get married. And I said in the sermon, their punchline is singleness is better than a terrible marriage that you cannot get out of.
Yes.
Right. And to any of our pastors who have been in some of those complicated marriage counseling situations, I'm sure that that's a hearty amen to that statement that we just want to just be slow, slow. The grass, like you just said, it's not always greener and both are gifts. From marriage is a gift. Yep. Singleness is a gift. Yep. But yeah, we want good marriages also. Yep. We don't want to rush into something that is unwise that's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think maybe before we transition, we're going to talk a little bit about dating. I think just briefly, I just want to reiterate, I've said this basically already, but Jesus is the treasure.
Yes.
He is the treasure. And so, we must stop at times when we're tempted towards self, like woe is me or self-loathing or whatever, it may just saying like, my life will never change. At that moment, we have just limited Jesus Christ, right? Right? We have just declared in one form or another, he's not enough. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. Yep. I think everyone listening, you don't want to do that either. Yep. And so again, so I'll just speak for me, because this happens to me, okay? Mm-hmm. So like, I will look at circumstances and I will begin to basically say self-talk, woe is me, you know, life is whatever. And at that moment, I have to somehow be reminded, I am preaching a very poor gospel to myself at that point. Okay. And I am limiting the glory of Christ in my life. I am limiting his power. I'm limiting his sufficiency. I'm limiting his worth. Mm-hmm. I have to step back and I say, I am living very poorly right now. Like there's some serious theological things wrong with Robbie's head right now. And so I need to reorient myself. Do I believe Jesus Christ is the treasure? Do I believe he's the most beautiful person who ever existed, and that he has given me his Holy Spirit, and I have every possibility of full contentment in him no matter what happens? The answer is yes. Yeah. So if the answer is yes, well, then I have to start living like it, Robbie.
Yeah.
Get your mind going in the right direction. Stop, you know, repent of your self, you know, again, despair, low, whatever it is, and then reorient your eyes towards Jesus Christ. Because again, I just say enough. He is enough. Yeah. He is enough. Amen. We agree? Now by your Spirit, let us live that more.
Yeah. Amen. Mm. That's so good, man.
Good.
I love that.
That's rich. What was the passage you ended the sermon with? Isaiah?
Isaiah 56.
Yeah. I think that was, that's such a wonderful picture too, that like when Jesus is enough and he is your pursuit in life, then you cling to those promises, like Isaiah 56, and you just say, I know that God knows my situation and I know he's providential and sovereign. Mm-hmm. And what I await from him is not a, how long were you married? Or how was your marriage? Or sorry, you were single for so long. You get your creator and savior, redeemer that looks you in the eye and says, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
And that's the crown and that's the prize. And I love how you ended the sermon that way. Like that was such a gospel worshipful moment that was really helpful for I think all of us, myself included.
A monument and a name better than sons and daughters.
Yeah.
That's the reward.
Beautiful.
For faithfulness. Yeah, for faithfulness to the Lord.
So more faith for that then.
Amen.
Oh, and by the way, there's no human marriage in heaven.
Yeah, right? That's right.
It's very clear. There's one marriage.
There's one marriage.
Right. Yeah,
that's right.
Christ and his church. And that we will not be disappointed, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us to live that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you mentioned dating. I think it would be good to talk about that just quickly, maybe at the end here. And
Just quickly.
Because there's not really much to say on
that. A real simple topic just to bring up last minute.
But, you know, some people that are tuning in will want to know about this. Let's slow down the conversation on marriage. That's a future episode. Mm-hmm. Let's think about someone who says, I am trusting Jesus is enough. And yet how do I think about preparing myself for marriage as a current unmarried person, as a single? Let's explore that a little bit. What are some things that maybe we see within the church or within Christian singles of trends or themes, maybe wrong ways to think about dating, courting, you know, whatever the term we want to use in terms of generation, but how do we want our singles to think about that? What's the purpose of dating? Some advice we'd give.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of things there, but who wants to go first?
I'll do some random advice. I remember one of the most powerful things I was kind of taught or insight when I was young and kind of in the dating, you know, kind of season of my life was the danger of emotional ties to people when we give ourselves. So this is in the context of, I would draw the line further back as opposed to how far can I go in my dating and kind of exposing and, you know, revealing, you know, different aspects of my heart to different people. So emotional ties are developed whenever we get close to someone. These aren't physical ties I'm talking about. These are just when you're dating with someone and you get, you know, there's levels of intimacy happening. It just emotionally, again, whatever it might be. Those are powerful things. Yep. And once you're in, like this, again, the context for me is I have, two boys, 2018, obviously my girls are, you know, high school almost, one is almost. And you're watching again, a group of kids and teenagers and young adults, and they start to date, but then it doesn't work out. And then all of a sudden there's this awkwardness of relationships that once were, and you have emotional ties that have been established that I think if they could go back, they're like, I don't think I'd want to do that. Wow. My caution is wisdom.
Yeah.
Like wisdom, like be very careful. Some people listening right now, like when it comes to dating, like you just, there's such a need to have someone in your life in that way. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an idol.
That's right.
Like you need to be able to admit that. Yeah. You sit there and Jesus again, isn't the one I truly worship because I'm trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment with human relationships around me. And frankly, it's forcing me way too quick into relationships that we're often prone to throw ourselves into and we're in very danger of sin. By the way, it comes to dating in life, you never win with sin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Write that down, everyone. Okay. You never win with sin. So if there's any sin involved in the thing, that's not good. Yeah. Back out, run. That will never be blessed. But emotional ties, I think, let's be very careful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because we are giving of ourselves. Yeah. And if we're not marrying this person, then there are consequences to that. Yeah. So I just, in a general category, I appeal to wisdom. I will be very much imploring my own children to live this way. Mm-hmm. Part of me, I learned the hard way, you know, as a stupid young man and all that kind of stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the first pieces I would say with dating. Yeah.
You know what I love about that? I think so many people naturally think about physical boundaries, but what you've just done is you've provided wisdom around emotional boundaries. Mm. And I think that is, not enough people think about that, that there is a type of emotional intimacy that we need to guard our hearts. Mm-hmm. We need to be wise with who we give that to and be slow and unhurried to as our relationship grows with intention towards marriage and engagement, that, you know, slowly letting that out until it's appropriate time. Yes. You know, that's so good.
Yeah. Well, I'll add to that too, just as you're talking, it reminded me, young men, they're often clueless at the hearts of young women.
Yes.
And they drag them along and they pull them in. They have no idea how much they just doing little things here and there, but the heart of the young woman has been captured in some ways. And then something happens and they just walk away and the devastation that occurs, that grieves my heart. Mm-hmm. Wisdom, right? Yeah. The young men acting like men though, that are wanting to please the Lord and to be careful. Of course, women have their role in this, but that's something very important too in dating. Again, young men, be aware of what you're doing, how you're leading people on. And if you're not serious about this, you do not mess with that young woman's heart.
Yes.
Don't do it around me, man. There'll be trouble.
You know what I'm
saying? So I'll be forced to do something.
Yes.
So anyways, I'll stop there before I get in trouble. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
That's good. So, I mean, to summarize, you go slow.
Yep.
Seek wisdom.
Yeah. I think dating groups,
okay.
Like I personally, again, if I go back, I would not date unless I thought there was a significant chance of marriage.
Yes.
This idea of just playing a dating game, going around for fun. No, that's stupid. That's stupid. I think it's ungodly and it'll get you into huge trouble too. So I think the wisdom of be friends, and I really encourage again, relationships. Yes. But then really, really be wise with this. We've seen this happen wonderfully within our church. We've seen young men and women and others who have done this wonderfully. And of course there's been examples where it hasn't gone so great. So I'd say that too.
That's great. Any closing thoughts there?
So good. One of my observations that I've seen with some of the young guys and gals, but I walk closely with the young guys, obviously, I call it like the Netflix dilemma, where so many options in their minds, and just even the role that technology now plays with some of these apps and dating, and there's Christian dating, and I'm not anti-technology, but I think that one of the things, this has changed the way you think about dating. It's changed. Mm-hmm. So you are in date one, date two, many people are not heeding the advice and counsel what Pastor Robbie just said, and they're already thinking about all the other things that they have on their phone and the next person that they can run to. They're not thinking about marriage. They're not thinking properly about how to be present wholly with this person and pursuing them appropriately. And I just think some of these tools, they're more than just tools. They've actually changed our psychology. They changed the way we think about dating in a way that's rather unhelpful. Mm. So just go, like all of the advice that you just said, we gotta slow down and be present with the person and intentional with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not one of seven that you're seeing. That's not good.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. We would agree with you on that.
And just practically for Jill and I, like in our home, like it's not a legalistic, you know, age, but we would definitely say, hey, like 18 until you date. Like that would be, again, I'm not legalistic about it, but somewhere around there, it's not going to be 14. I can guarantee as long as the children in my house and my daughters, they're not dating someone at 14. Yeah. But that's just if it's helpful for people. Again, I say it again, it's not legalistic for us, but there's some wisdom principles to say, what's the point? Yeah. What's the point of doing this? All for friendships.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see that happen and to make friends and to have friends, you know, of the opposite sex and everything, but we're going to really kind of... guide them on that principle, for what it's worth, for those who are listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did you guys each date before you got married?
Good question. 10 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 months dating and then 10 months engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you dated for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
We were, this is not prescriptive. This
I
is
didn't
descriptive.
Know the answer to that, but yeah. That's right.
We started dating, definitely younger than we should have. We were probably 16 years old when I started dating. That was that house rule, but it was different too. It was like families. It was in groups and ended up marrying Beth, as soon as I could right after college. So we dated for probably, I don't know, 5 years. But we were in high school
and then went through
Liberty.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat.
Tried to honor the Lord and all that, but yeah, we were young. We were young.
Yeah.
Would not advise dating at 16.
But you took your time. You didn't rush it.
That's right. Yeah. Took my time.
And
what about you?
And you knew.
You're kind of similar.
Yeah. Elaine and I, we knew each other. Actually, so we knew each other since grade 7.
Wow.
We started dating end of high school. We did long distance. I went to Bible college in Saskatchewan. And I think by the time we were done married through the engagement, I think it was like 5 or 6 as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, we always thought like take seasons of dating because it just helps you get to know them in different seasons. Right. You get to know their family in different seasons because you're trying to, you know, you're meshing families together and also just trying to get to know them.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
For the purpose of, but for compatibility in also, I think that's a big deal.
So. I have a funny story about, we got time. I remember meeting Beth's dad when I was going to ask his permission if I could start dating Beth. And he reminded us, I was 16 years old.
Nice.
And he says, you have to answer a few questions. I'm not going to say all the questions, but one of the questions is like, what is the purpose of dating?
Okay.
I remember just feeling so smart and just being like, yeah, purpose is marriage. You know, we're preparing for marriage as a 16 year old kid. Yeah. And he's just like, is it? Sure. Anyways, wow. He was so kind. He was so kind and gracious, but yeah.
Well, you proved him wrong.
I mean, I married his daughter.
Yeah. Right? I was
good to my word, but you know, little did I know when I was 16, you know.
Yeah. And maybe the last thing I'll say before we're done here too is just like our church, the heart of our church is we want to create spaces for our young men and women to meet each other.
That's right.
Yeah, we do. I mean, one of the, you know, it's just close to the heart of the elders and to the pastors and leaders. Yeah. So we want, you know, part of what we do, we're not afraid to say that. And we'd love to have spaces where we can have young men and women coming together to get to know each other.
Yep, that's right.
And then we've seen a lot of marriages through this church. Praise God. So awesome. May there be many, many more.
That's right. Yeah. Church is a wonderful safe place. Yeah. Guys, thanks for joining us on this first episode. I know singleness is an important topic for our church. It's important that we do this and praying that this whole conversation beyond the sermon is helpful for people as they watch and listen and apply God's word to their lives. So thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
And until next time, joining us on the Beyond the Sermon resource, you are loved.
Amen.